The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He replied them, "What things?" Or he asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So we went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he broke bread, blessed, and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You've probably heard it said, you are what you eat. A friend of mine, we're going to call her Sarah, and I'm going to tell some stories this morning, and I'm going to use some different names. So we're going to call her Sarah. She went through a period of really severe anxiety that got so bad that she couldn't eat, anxiety whose effect was to sap her of her hunger itself. And you have to understand, she was petite to begin with, but in the depths of her anxiety, she lost 10, and then 20, and then 30 pounds, and then more. And her hunger would just not return, no matter how badly she wanted it. And in the depths of that anxiety, she said she would look at a plate of food, and the people around her would be saying, "Eat, eat, who are you? Why can't you just eat?" And she had never been a person who didn't like to eat. Her anxiety had nothing to do with a body image or anything like that. But in the depths of that anxiety, she lost her hunger. You've heard it said, you are what you eat. But what if you can't? Who are we when our very hunger is gone? Sarah reflected later with me that the most frightening thing about that experience was that she became a stranger to herself. Our gospel today is one of the most well-loved and well-known texts in the New Testament. And it always gets asked, why don't the disciples just recognize Jesus? And I kind of get it, right? I mean, I don't always see Jesus. You know, that's always sort of been clear to me. But right now in the world of COVID-19, I begin to really see this story with different eyes. The experience of a global pandemic has left me wondering, like Sarah, whether these two disciples even recognize themselves. That after witnessing the betrayal, abandonment, torture, and death of their friend, that their own trauma is so deep and so wide that they find themselves strangers even to themselves. This week, I called a member of Ship of the Valley who shared something similar, shared this devastation at not visiting or holding or touching their grandchildren. And in between sharing the story with me, the person asked, "Who am I if I can't be a grandparent to my grandchildren?" And I've had sort of similar questions with myself. I've wondered, who are we as a church if we can't gather in person? Our gospel translation today says that the eyes of the disciples were kept from recognizing Jesus. Honestly, that's pretty weak. It's better translated, their eyes were defeated. That hits home this week. We hear them say, we had hoped that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. And that little phrase, we had hoped, I think it just says it all. Because we're not just what we eat. We're more than that. We are what we hunger for. We are what we hope for. And how many of us are finding those words, we had hoped, in our own mouths right now, right? We had hoped that our summer plans wouldn't be canceled. I had hoped that my parents could come down for a visit in a couple weeks. We had hoped that we might be worshiping together as a community for Easter. We had hoped the ABC Barn Preschool would be open by now. And when we lose our hope, we lose ourselves. We become strangers in our own journeys. So to understand what happened to me a couple weeks ago, you should understand something about my friend, who I'll call Owen. I met Owen back in college, and as a kid, Owen was one of these people who had memorized, like, huge swaths of scripture, incredibly active in church. He was incredibly active in campus ministries in college, and he was just in love with the church. He had this fire about him. And after college, of course, he was hired by a big, important church to be their star youth director, their star employee. He was bright, young, full of exciting ideas, full of faith, full of charm and dreams. And now, in retrospect, when Owen kind of recounts a story now, he has always known that he was gay. Since he was a little kid, he knew he was gay in the depths of his heart. But the particular Christian tradition to which he belonged was fiercely anti-LGBTQ, like militantly, like the kind of church that sends you to a camp to fix you if you identify as gay. So for him, there was always this internal conflict. But he always just kind of pushed through because he had hope. He had faith. Well, in college, when I was sort of getting to know him, he kind of came out to himself quietly. And he thought, well, okay, this is good enough. And he even began really secretly sort of dating people he was actually attracted to. But he still wasn't out publicly. He couldn't be out because he had to go be the star employee of this big church. And when he went and did that, everything got worse. That experience of perpetually having to closet himself, pretending to be somebody he wasn't, agreeing with people when they made really ugly statements about LGBTQ folks. It wasn't long before Owen became very cynical and very angry. He lashed out, he overdrank, he overate, he overslept. And that inner battle, the trauma of that inner tumultuousness sapped him of his hunger, of his hope. And when we lose our hope, we lose ourselves. Owen became a stranger in his own journey. And I have to say, thank goodness he finally left the church, because it was killing him. And I can safely say that his staying in the church was not God's desire for him. And last I heard from him, he had not set foot in any church since. And that was years ago. Here's the thing about hope. We can't make it up. We can't fake it. Wishful thinking doesn't bring it back. In fact, maybe it makes it worse. The power of positive thinking doesn't bring back hope. Optimism and a good attitude are really nice, but they're not the same thing as hope. And today we're hearing more and more that the world around us is changing due to COVID-19, and it's true. We may not emerge from this recognizing ourselves or recognizing the world around us. But here on the road to Emmaus, we become witnesses with the disciples to a kind of hope that we don't have to earn or work for. In fact, a kind of hope that seeks us out even when we are not recognizable even to ourselves. This is a hope that we meet on the road filled with sadness and defeat. This hope grabs us, raises us with new hunger and a new heart. And then out of the blue, we see it in the breaking of the bread. My friend Sarah remembers the day she felt hunger for the first time. She says, it's the weirdest thing. I couldn't have found it if I wanted to. It just kind of came out of nowhere. And she was watching the movie Julie and Julia, if you know that movie, where Meryl Streep plays Julia Childs, who is in love with butter and baguettes and bouffe bourguignon. Sarah says, it was the really strangest thing. I watched the movie, and the delight of watching Julia Child delight in bread, I felt hungry again. And I recognized myself in my hunger. And I want to share this with you. A few weeks ago, I was feeling really lousy. And kind of like those disciples, I was beginning to feel sort of like a stranger in my own skin. And just out of the blue, I get this message from Owen, who I haven't talked to in months. And he sends me this random message, and oddly enough, we start talking about all the foods we're cooking. Owen's a massive extrovert, so he just had to sort of tell somebody about something. And so I was sending him pictures of the sourdough breads I've been baking, and he sends me pictures of his food, and somewhere between his pictures of avocado toast and curried chicken thighs, he writes this message and he says, oh, by the way, I've started going back to church again. Just out of the blue. He just found himself hungry. We are more than the foods that we eat. We are our hunger. We are our hopes. And our hope as the people of God comes from the one whom death could not contain. And this one, Jesus, raises us up as he was raised up. We may not recognize ourselves on the other side of COVID-19. We may not recognize ourselves on the other side of this journey. But thanks be to God, I don't think Owen will recognize himself either. And that gives me hope. Amen.